To musician Wilder Scott, the town of Tulliver holds magic. It was that magic that helped to create him, and it is that magic that he is trying to capture once more. But not all magic is good magic. When Private Investigator Alan Flynn is hired to find the missing musician, he finds himself caught inside a world of death, a cursed town, and a mystery that threatens to kill anyone who stumbles upon it. The town of Tulliver holds a dark secret. It is a secret that has haunted its people for years. It is a secret that lives in the shadows. And it is a secret that wants out. This is Lyric the Novel. From award-winning author Jason Emmett comes a horror novel in the vein of Richard Matheson, Stephen King, and Peter Straub. Join us each week as the chilling story unfolds in this horror audiobook podcast novel. With a song, fear will be written, and through the lyric, darkness will be set free. Lyric the Novel, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Hey everyone, I want you to check out our sponsor, BustedTees.com. They sell really cool clothing and apparel, all of it inspired by your favorite shows, anime, sci-fi, video games, movies. That's BustedTees.com. And then at checkout, you want to use my name, Jason, 25945. That's all one word, Jason 25945. That's going to get you a discount, and it's going to help this show. That site again, BustedTees.com, like t-shirts, and that code again, Jason 25945. BustedTees.com, designs that pop culture.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Who has a mixtape?
We.
Who needs a mixtape?
You.
Who makes a mixtape?
We.
Who needs a mixtape?
You do.
Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Where's the groove? The local beat. Come along and laugh with our mixtape.
Ha 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 ha.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Sing along and clap to the beat. Settle in and listen to our mixtape. And now the music vanishes. Enjoy your bottom sandwiches.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the mixtape. Welcome back to the mixtape. It's been we've been off for a few weeks.
A while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been kind of weird.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So, well, we did take off after the new year, and we warned you we'd be coming back. There's been a couple little things come down the line, but yeah, we're back. We're back officially. I'm Jason Emmett.
I'm Casey Masterpiece.
I'm Twisted Kid Matt.
I'm Stewie.
Stewie.
Hey. That's what he looks like, everybody.
So, real quick, I just... Well, you said that. I don't know if we will or won't use this particular video, but we are going to start doing video. Our YouTube channel will be up, and well, there's been some new stuff added, and there'll be more. We'll be adding clips of the show and stuff moving forward. So if you really want to see us, which I don't know why you would, you can. With that being said, we are trying a new format out. That doesn't mean entirely new. There's going to be some different stuff, but it's going to be similar. We just may be talking about more than we did before. And we wanted to kick off the new year. If you didn't already hear it or see it, we had an interview with Ben Westhoff, who is an investigative journalist, and he wrote the book on West Coast hip hop, as it were. He's written a couple of books, but this one is considered to be one of those definitive works. It is called Original Gangstas. I highly recommend everybody go and check it out. But we did an interview with him pre this show because we want to talk about the East Coast West Coast rivalry, and we figured he's kind of an authority figure on it, and so we had him on. Like, he's interviewed everyone that was involved that's still around and their families.
Why did I do that better?
Why are you guys throwing up gang signs? Stop it.
Because we're talking about East Coast.
Well, yeah, but you're all throwing up West Coast.
you're right. What's the sign for East Coast?
You know what's funny is every one of these every one of these motherfuckers just throw up West Coast and ain't none of them probably even been to the fucking West Coast.
I have.
Okay, Stewie has once. Colorado's not the coast.
Twice. The coast of Colorado.
Three times.
I lived in Colorado. I'm more west than any of y'all.
Rocky Mountains.
So let's go ahead. We're going to break this thing down and we're going to go piece by piece and then we're going to give our thoughts. So I want to start right here. I want to start at the beginning. We'll start with Stewie D. I'm going to ask him first. Stewie, how much do you actually know about the East Coast, West Coast feud?
For the most part, I'm kind of like middle ground, I guess you could say. I didn't do like deep dive I used to listen to Tupac and, you know, Dre and Snoop, all that. I heard Biggie in that, but I wasn't really big on that, their music. But so like it kind of was geared more towards the West Coast because of the
rambling going on. I mean, I listened to it, so but, really, I mean, you don't know much.
I heard the beef,
but you know, you love me.
Yes,
that may be all you need to know.
I mean, I heard that some of the music beef in their songs, but
you heard the diss tracks.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, how about you? How much do you really know about the East Coast West Coast feud?
Not as much as you do, because I know you have done a ton of research on it.
Yeah. But,
I know way more now than I ever knew.
The media portrayal.
Hey, I watched it pretty much. Straight Outta Compton, damn it.
I don't think that really gets into it a whole lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, never mind.
And KC, how about yourself? How much do you really know?
About the same as you guys. I mean, I know, like, not a whole lot of information. I'm not an expert, but I know a little bit.
So it's weird because when we decide we were going to do this, yet Matt is right. I've spent about 2 months now researching this, and it's mind blowing. And I'm going to make some comments. And what's really interesting is I'd made these comments to the guys, and then I had the interview with Ben, and he echoed what I've been saying. There was no East Coast West Coast feud. Now, everybody's probably losing their minds. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? There really isn't. There was a feud between like four dudes. That's it. We're going to kind of get in and break that down.
They just happen to be on separate.
Well, not even. So we're going to break that whole thing down. This gets really fucked up. And I will tell you, it is doing research into this. It's kind of heartbreaking. And it really is. It's some of it's very sad. Obviously, we lost people, but it's more than that. It's just that people went down some of these paths they went down. So we're going to discuss it real quick. So in the East, we had Bad Boy Records, and in the West, we had Death Row, right? And it's widely believed that hip-hop and hip-hop culture started in New York. Actually, it's pretty much known that hip-hop culture started in New York, right? So a lot of East Coast rappers felt their sound and style was superior to the West Coast. But by the late 80s, the West Coast scene, it like really grown. It had grown substantially. It was really starting to pick up. So a lot of people attribute the start of the feud to a rapper named Tim Dog and an album he dropped called Penicillin on Wax. A number of tracks on that album made fun of West Coast artists. It had a song called Fuck You Compton, which was a direct attack on Dre and NWA.
You don't say.
Yeah, really?
Who was he talking about in that song?
I don't know, man.
Can't tell.
Somebody that was straight out of Compton, more than likely.
Yeah. Was he a crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube?
Another name that factored into those early phases of the quote-unquote feud was Uncle Luke, who released the album In the Nude, and he had a song called Dre's Mama Needs a Haircut.
So, just take shots at everybody.
Pretty much.
He also had a song called Cowards in Compton. Here's the thing, though. God. It's all diss tracks. That's it. That's all we've got in the beginning. There's nothing more than that, which has been going on in rap forever.
Yeah, since the test of time, really.
Yeah. I mean, look at some of the that we've talked about in this show, people that have diss-tracked one another. It's not like it's that uncommon.
It's even in rock now.
Cool Moe Dee.
It is in rock now. And Cool Moe Dee and LL, yes, all of this. Yeah. I mean, you guys are all right on the money. It's not unusual.
Right.
So Death Row, which had formed in 1991, retaliated with their own diss tracks. Dre released Chronic with the song Fuck With Dre Day and Everybody Celebrating. In that song, he goes after Tim Dog and Uncle Luke, but he also goes after Eazy-E and Ice Cube in that song. So it's not, he's just kind of going to get, like, he's not dissing
It's not a coast. It's a person.
It's the people who are pissing him off. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of people would argue Chronic is a fantastic album. So, you know. And we know who Dre is as opposed to Tim Dog and Tim Uncle Dog. Luke.
Never heard of Tim Dog. I mean, is Luke the, was it the
Two Life Crew?
Probably.
That's who I was assuming.
Uncle Luke? Did he go by Uncle Luke?
It's
very possible. Uncle Luke. Yeah. And I think he did start shit, so more than likely, Here's the thing. Pay attention, though, because all of those names you just heard, even Dre, they're not going to have anything to do with the rest of this. They're going to drop off this fucking scene so fast. And I think, and this is just my opinion, I believe they all took a real big step back when things started getting like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're not just diss tracking anymore. People are getting shot. Fuck this noise, right? It's like I said, rap rivalries, that's one thing. It's like a badge of honor in the rap world to do diss tracks. Right. But death is something else entirely. Like, and I don't think that that's what these, I think a lot of them had gotten out of that shit, right? That's the whole thing. Like, they went into the rap as a way to get away from all that bullshit, and now the bullshit starts coming back. They don't want anything to do with it. So, 1993, Puff Daddy starts Bad Boy Records, and he helps to establish the Notorious B.I.G. These are going to be the big names in the field of this whole thing, right? Suge Knight, a little bit of Dre, Tupac, Puffy, Biggie, a little bit of Snoop Dogg.
Never heard of any of these guys.
Yeah, not heard of at all. Little fellow named Snoop Dogg, a guy named Haitian Jack.
And actually, you have not heard of that guy.
Well, yeah, he's
like a great Jamaican dish. Well, Haitian dish, actually.
Yeah. Also,
Haitian
little C's from Junior Mafia kind of has a tendency to run his mouth a little, quite often, actually.
Yeah.
So
the name Lil in your name, you probably got
Lil. He's Lil C's, which is where I go to get pizza.
Napoleon complex. Yeah.
Lil C's.
Lil C's.
So the first actual shots fired were at Tupac in 1994. November 30th, Tupac goes to Quad Studio in Manhattan. He's there for a recording session with Lil Sean, right? He was actually in New York at the time. He's on trial.
Was Lil Sean like an early name for P. Diddy?
Lil Sean. No.
Lil Sean.
No.
The 50 names he had?
Nope. Which I went, we'll get into some of that too before this is all over, because he's in some shit right now too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Tupac's actually in New York because he's on trial for some really, we'll just say, creepy charges that may or may not bear a lot of weight on this entire situation, on everything. I don't know if you guys have ever looked into the story of the sexual assault charges against Tupac. He wasn't directly accused of basically. His version of the story is he meets a girl. They go back to his place. She gives him a blowjob, right? Woo. A couple of days later, he runs into the girl. She comes back to his place, but he's pretty much letting her know he's not interested in her beyond that, which he's admitted. He's admitted. If you watch him, he's like, hey, man, I did some shitty things. I'm not saying I was a great dude, but what I didn't do was rape or allow rape or any of that stuff. Don't know. But what he claims basically is they came back. He didn't want anything to do with her this time. She got pissed off and made up a story because she wanted to hook up and he didn't want to. You guys have to forgive me because I'm still getting over being sick. So
Her
version of the story is that he allowed a bunch of his buddies to and talked her into like having sex with them, not him.
Air quotes allowed.
Choo choo.
Right. And kind of forced it, but he didn't do it. So I don't know. I don't know. But he's on trial for this stuff, right? And he's in New York on trial. And he's like, people knew who Tupac was at this point, but he's not as blown up as we all know him to be later. So he's really hurting for cash, right? He needs money for his trial. He needs money to help him. He's picking up money wherever he can to help pay for the legal bills. Lil Sean has asked him to come do be a guest on some track, and he's going to pay him for it. This is all some of the stuff that you can get into a lot deeper with the whole Haitian Jack thing if you want to. But he's agreed. He is walking down the street, coming around the block towards the building, toward Quad Studios, and he starts hearing people yelling down at him. He looks up at the window. It's Lil C's and some other members of Junior Mafia. Now, from all accounts, they're like really happy to see him. They're excited. They're like waving at him. He's excited. Lil C's, they said, like, runs to the elevator. He's going to go down and meet him. Before any of that can happen, a bunch of gunmen wearing, like, camouflage and masks and shit come rushing in, right? They rush into the building, pull guns, tell everybody to hit the floor. From the stories, Tupac says no and fights with them.
He's refusing to hit the button.
Yep.
No, it's in the background, and it's hard to get to right now. All right, shut up.
We can't hear it on here. So yeah,
it's in the background.
I might have to. I didn't hit.
No. The song's not playing. The button's in the background. I couldn't get to it. It was too difficult to get to. So anyway, Tupac fights with these guys. He ends up getting shot. Right. This whole thing gets really weird at this point because they come in, they're hauling his ass out, and as they're hauling him out, he flips off Biggie and the Junior Mafia boys and basically tells them he knows they had something to do with this. No one knows why he thinks they had something to do with it. This is part of the problem. There's a real famous photo of Tupac being wheeled out and flipping everybody off on the gurney. Now, if you listen to the interview with Ben that I did, there's actually a detective who theorizes nobody shot him. He fucking shot himself on accident because they were wrestling around and he had a gun in his own fucking waistband and shot himself. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. What I don't understand is why he automatically assumes that it's Bad Boy. It's the guys from Bad Boy Records that have anything to do with it. I don't know. How much do you guys know about this whole Quad Studio incident and what are your thoughts on it?
I just heard what's been on the news about it.
Yeah, which even that, man, when I go to read the story, yes, the actual story versus the stories I'd heard all these years, I'm like, oh, well, they're different. like, had you guys heard about it when he was shot at Quad Studios?
No.
No, you'd never even heard about it?
No.
Okay, so yeah, he was shot way before he was shot. So, years before.
It's like 50 Cent got shot a few times.
Yeah, you know you're...
Yeah, he walks with a limp.
He actually got shot in the mouth. That's
why. Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh, you guys should be really clear, too. At this point, Tupac is not with Death Row Records.
He's not signed with them. Yeah, not at this point.
He's not part of them. And I also we really need to clearly establish a couple of things. First of all, Tupac from New York. He's not West Coast born. He didn't go out to the West Coast till he was like in his late teens. He was an East Coaster. The big thing, though, is he's friends with Biggie. Close friends, slept on his couch friends.
Yeah, there's even a diss track saying that.
Yes, they were really good friends. So
this is pretty much Digital Underground Tupac hanging out with Biggie, right?
So, yes. I mean, a little bit after that, but right around the same time, pretty much. Yes. So, which is, we'll get into that too. But he's starting to associate with people on the West Coast. But at this point, we don't have a rivalry. It just doesn't really, we have a couple of crappy diss tracks, but no real rivalry. Anyway. So the unsubstantiated rumor is a hit was put on Tupac because he didn't sign with Bad Boy. That was what a lot of people have said. But to me, this seems really flimsy when you start digging into it. Like somebody thought of that as an afterthought, like, oh, maybe it was because of this. But I don't really get that. Another theory, and this one I feel is a little more likely, is that Haitian Jack came after Tupac regarding the entire sexual assault trial situation. Haitian Jack was named in the trial by Tupac. And Tupac was not really happy with the way Haitian Jack had been portraying things. There's also one more theory, and that theory is that a guy by the name of Jimmy Henchman had him shot. Jimmy Henchman was associated with Little Sean.
Hold up. Henchman?
Like, Henchman. It's nicknames.
Straight up?
It's nicknames, yeah.
I was like, wait, his real name? Like, yeah, he sounds like he's just a goon.
He's a goon.
Like a Dick Tracy goon.
So basically the way this one lays down is Lil Sean asked him to come cut a track. Tupac was going to do it for money. Jimmy Henchman, I think, is like the owner of Quad Studios or had something to do with Quad Studios, gets pissed off when Tupac wants money for it. Tupac pretty much tells him, like, well, I'm not going to do it if I don't get paid. And I guess from what I've heard, Jimmy Henchman doesn't really like being questioned. And there's a lot of stuff in his past where when people have questioned what he says or does, he does some really shitty stuff. So there's
a henchman.
He is a henchman. It's right in his name. So, So some people think that he had him shot because he pissed him off. Nobody really knows. You know. For whatever reason, it got into Tupac's head that Puffy, Biggie, Junior Mafia, and the head of Uptown Records, Andre Harrell, were somehow involved in the attack. And he let that be known in an interview with Vibe magazine. But wait, there's more. So he gets the interview with Vibe magazine and says right in the interview that he thinks they had something to do with it. Meanwhile, he goes to prison. Puffy comes to see Tupac in prison. And Puffy tells Tupac that Bad Boys, he says, we had nothing to do with the shooting. We weren't involved, man. I'm sorry that it happened. And everything starts to settle down a little bit. But then that interview gets released. Oops. And they read that he pretty much told the world that he thinks it's them, and they get kind of pissed. But nothing really happens, right? Except that a few months later, a track comes out from Biggie called Who Shot Ya? Okay, so Stu laughed. Everybody shakes their heads. But here's the problem. They claim that track was already fucking recorded. It came out a couple months later. It was already recorded. It was just being mixed. Again, it's just a coincidence, right? Had nothing to do with Quad Studios. There are things out there that kind of confirm they might be telling the truth, but it sounds like it's a direct jab, and the timing of that release just fucking sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So whether it was or not, we're going to get into that in a second too, right?
Now, here's my question. How much of this could be solved by just picking up a phone?
Almost
going,
all of it.
Hey, man, this was unrelated, man.
So we are, well, that happens, but what is about to happen in this whole thing here in a minute is the fucking player who screws everything up is about to step in. Mm-mm. And that's when I don't think that could happen anymore.
Shook.
Fucking shook. Yes. 100%. And that's about to happen. So everything really, I bet you anything that Kevin, when did everything turn south?
Ooh.
When would you say things just really turned to shit all across the board?
Well, the Source Awards.
Fucking Source
95,
Awards.
95, yeah.
The Source Awards. Ooh, this is when everything, when everything kind of goes shitty.
Is that the one where Snoop was like,
yes. I will play you that clip if you want. So, Source Awards, this is when Suge Knight kind of steps up. Suge gets on stage, makes a comment about certain producers having to be in every video and on every album. And this would seem to be a direct attack against Puff Daddy.
And it seems like it. Yeah.
Hey, Diddy.
Yeah. So I have the clip. Let's see if I can play it. All right. So took me a second, found the clip. This should be the clip. This is what Suge Knight had to say.
City.
Any artist out there want to be an artist and want to stay a star and don't want to have to worry about the executive producer trying to be all in the videos, all on the record, dancing, come to Death Row.
Kevin's got it memorized, apparently.
I mean, the whole.
So the first thing you're going to hear there is after that, like the whole fucking audience starts booing, right? There's a reason they're booing, guys. The Source Awards were in New York, and you've got a guy from the West Coast basically attacking who has now become like a very iconic. We're talking.
This was a declaration of war.
And we're talking 90s Puff Daddy and Biggie here. We're not, you know, say what you will now, think what you want now, but we're talking 90s Puff Daddy. We are talking about Puff Daddy, not
the dance party,
not P. Diddy or
dance club.
You know, we're talking about Puffy, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, Suge gets up on stage, flat out makes fun of him. And like I said, the mostly New York crowd, not happy. Nor are they happy when Dre wins Producer of the Year. They're booing at that, right? Everybody's pissed off. So at this point, Snoop Dogg gets up with Dre to accept the reward. The award. That'd be cool. Give him a fucking
reward. He's like, thanks. I'll take this money.
Yeah, we'll take this. And here's what Snoop had to say.
The East Coast don't love Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. The East Coast ain't got no love for Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Death Row. Y'all don't love us. Well, let it be known then. We know y'all East Coast. We know we at East Coast and F.
So that video was being nice and cutting all the, we know where the fuck we're at.
There seems
I actually watched that live.
You remember watching that live? Yeah. That's insane, man.
Yeah,
I can't imagine watching it live and seeing like this whole right. breakdown. Like,
oh my god!
So what's happening here?
I thought there was going to be like a riot going on.
Well, and there's some reasons why there might not have been. So Suge gets up and clearly attacks Puff Daddy. I mean, he tries to say later it wasn't about Puff Daddy, but it 100% was, and. Mm-hmm. when Dre gets up to receive the award, they start booing. And this is just Snoop being loyal to Dre. Although he is with Suge, too. I think he's known Dre for a long time, and he doesn't really... I think he's taken aback. Like, why the fuck are we being booed on this stage? You got to remember, at this point, some of these guys have no idea what the fuck's happening.
It's crazy thinking about... I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but it's crazy thinking about what happened then and like seeing what's going on now.
It's totally crazy. Oh, yeah. No, you're
the 100%. The fact that Snoop owns Death Row now, and Suge's in jail, and...
I mean, this whole episode is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And not to mention, like, the Dirty South showed up and kind of made their debut during this whole
war. That too.
Yeah, it's nuts. If you go, Stu, like Stu said he remembers watching it live. I've watched it since, and it's so hard to watch.
It's
crazy. I will dare to say that this is probably one of, like, the top five most, I don't know, memorable moments in
music. Agree. I 100% agree. Definitely, or controversial and memorable, yes.
I mean, Kanye's on top right there.
So here's the thing that I want to kind of bring up, what happens next, is, again, think of him what you will, it doesn't matter. Throughout this entire thing, one person, throughout all of it, is trying to fucking calm shit down. Not just the Source Awards, but he's already done it once, and we're going to keep seeing him do it. Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy gets up on stage. And he says to the crowd, he says, hey, I'm that guy that they were talking about, right? I'm that producer he was talking about. He's like, but I got something to say. He's like, I don't care. He's like, I'm proud of Dre. I'm proud of everything Dre's accomplished. And all this East Coast, West Coast stuff needs to stop. He's like, so give it up for everybody from the East and the West at one tonight. One love. Like, this is what Puff Daddy gets up. He's just been slammed on, and he gets up there to the crowd who's East Coast, who loves him. He says, no, fuck this, man. I'm proud of Dre. I think what Dre has accomplished is fantastic. This East Coast, West Coast rivalry is bullshit, and we should all just be together. So,
and Puffy, if you're listening, you know, you're welcome for the positive, you know, report that Jay just gave you. Because,
well, there's going to be
right
more.
Now you kind of need it.
You need it right now.
Yeah.
Sexual assault stuff going on. It's, yeah. So next up on this whole fucking debacle, Suge Knight and Puffy both show up at Jermaine Dupri's party. And, of course, things get out of hand between their entourages. So how much do you guys know about this story?
No.
Because this is the first official...
I don't think I've ever heard of this.
...death takes place, right? Hmm. So what we do know about that night is Suge's friend, Big Jake Robles, goes to leave the party, and he ends up fatally shot, and Suge instantly accuses Puffy of being involved. Again, this is so weird because I don't quite understand how that happened. There's been this whole thing about Puff Daddy's bodyguard shot Big Jake, who was one of Suge's closest friends, and I think maybe his part-time bodyguard. It's kind of hard to tell. But here's what Puffy has had to say about this entire account of that night. I'm going to have to read his quote. He said, here's what happened. I went to Atlanta with my son. At that time, there wasn't really no drama. I didn't even have bodyguards, so that's a lie that I did. I left the club, and I'm waiting for my limo, talking to girls. I don't see Suge go into the club. We don't make any contact or nothing like that. He gets into a beef in the club with some N-word. I knew the majority of the club, but I don't know who he got into the beef with, what it was over, or nothing like that. All I heard is that he took beef at the bar. I see people coming out. I see a lot of people that I know. I see him. And I see everybody yelling and screaming and shit. I get out the limo and I go to him like, what's up? You all right? I'm trying to see if I can help him. That's my motherfucking problem. I'm always trying to see if I can help somebody. Anyways, I get out facing him and I'm like, what's going on? What's the problem? Then I hear shots ringing out and we turn around and someone's standing right behind me. His man, God bless the dead, gets shot and he's on the floor. My back was turned. I could have got shot and he could have got shot. But right then, he was like, I think you had something to do with this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I was standing right here with you. I really felt sorry for him, the sense that if he felt that way, he was showing me his insecurity. So again, I don't know. And by the way, no one's ever been
And also, side note, isn't that kind of part of what bodyguards are there for? Like, they're there to protect.
Well, according to Puffy, at this point, he doesn't even have bodyguards because there is no rivalry that he's aware of. And And it, again, it depends on whose version of the story, because you hear it. But most people were like, no, man, we don't know why Suge accused Puffy. And from what Puffy said, he was standing right the fuck next to Suge. So Puffy goes to Louis Farrakhan's. He goes to Louis Farrakhan's son, Mustafa. And he says, is there anything you can do to put an end to this bullshit? I'm with it. The Times reported that Mustafa approached Suge Knight and Suge Knight refused to speak to him.
His name's Mustafa?
Yeah. It's Louis Farrakhan's son.
The Lion King?
Thanks, Stu.
just making double checking.
We got it. Congratulations. Well, Louis Farrakhan was really famous. Is he still alive? Is Farrakhan still alive?
He's still alive.
Is he really? God. How old must he be?
Old as shit. Old.
Yeah. Louis Farrakhan, he's a real famous minister.
The Nation of Islam.
A lot of bow ties. Do they call them ministers? Pastors?
I think it's a minister.
I think so. Yeah. Very, very famous Farrakhan is. And throughout this, a lot of these guys kind of follow his teachings. And they try to get, he tries to help too. It's just, there's just a couple people, as you see, Suge. So Suge, some would say, urged by Snoop Dogg as a way of convincing him to get him to sign with Death Row Records, bails Tupac out of jail. And then we're not talking like $50,000. I've heard it was like $3 million to bail Tupac out of jail. And Suge Knight pays for that, right? Pays for the whole thing. So
now he's got him in his pocket.
Then they offer him a record label, a deal with the record label, and he takes it. So now Tupac is with Death Row.
Oh, yeah. I know about this record deal.
They bail him out. They give him a record deal. Some think that Snoop kind of urged Suge to bail him out, to offer him, pretty much. So from what rumors are, at this point, Tupac hasn't signed with anybody. He's had offers from Bad Boy and from Death Row, and he's just not signing. So the theory is Snoop said, hey, this is our chance to get Tupac to sign with us.
And he kind of got strong-armed in joining Death Row.
A little bit. So they say. Like I said, $3 million to bail his ass out. He probably felt a little beholden, but who knows?
Right.
I don't know what kind of deal they offered him. So we get an album where Tupac makes direct threats towards Biggie and Bad Boy Records.
I love that diss track.
He also pulls Mobb Deep into this with the track Hit 'Em Up. There are even stories of him getting mad at LL Cool J for the track I Shot Ya. But rapper Keith Murray, who was on that track with LL, he apparently assured Tupac that, listen, man, this song had nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. So, God knows. It needs to be mentioned at this point, and I do think this is important. Biggie never directly released any track attacking Death Row or Tupac. Not one direct comment has ever been made. Whereas Death Row's are very clear who they're talking about. There has been some speculation that the tracks might have been about them, but no one ever calls anybody out directly. Like I said, Lil C starts spreading a rumor that The Long Kiss Goodnight was about Tupac, but Puffy is denying this. He said, no, it's not. And here's the thing I don't understand. If these tracks are, in fact, meant to be diss tracks, why aren't they taking credit for it? Why are they saying just the opposite? We released a diss track, but no, we're not. No, it wasn't. Because that's not what Death Row's doing. Death Row's releasing a diss track, and they're like, fuck Biggie, you know? They're not hiding it. So that comes that question. Yeah. But the media is having fun with this shit at this point. They're saying there's a war between the two sides, and, they're running with the stories. Fans start to divide. And then enters the next fucking linchpin in this whole thing. Faith fucking Evans. fucking Faith Evans. Faith Evans is married to Biggie at this point. They're having some issues, but they're still married. Triangle. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So Tupac hires Faith Evans to sing on a track, which I already think is kind of a low blow for Tupac to get his wife involved. But here's a couple of things. I don't trust her. Okay. I don't trust any. She says too much and it just doesn't flow to me. But I've read that she's tried to claim first that she did not know Tupac had signed with Death Row Records when she agreed to do the track, which I find really hard to believe, but maybe.
I mean, there might be a chance that it went through the record label.
It's very possible.
Or not record label, but management before.
It is very possible she didn't know. I don't know how fresh he was to Death Row. I don't know. The other thing she claims is that Biggie was okay with her doing the track. Now, this I actually do believe, and I will explain why I believe this. According to a quote from Faith Evans, she said, when I went to the studio with Tupac, when I met him, he said, I want to do a song with you. I told Big. He said, do you want to do it? I said, yeah, if he got the money. And that seems legit because the money was $250,000.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably record a diss track too.
Allegedly. Well, it wasn't a diss track. It was just, damn, I want you to do backup vocals on a track. Here's what I speculate. Me, this is pure speculation, and I want to get your guys' thoughts.
Camera's directly on you on this one, too. Yeah. So.
I think.
That's going to be even funnier than the idiot, by the way.
So. I think, me personally, I think Tupac was like, watch this shit. I'm going to offer this girl money as a way to fuck you to Biggie. She saw $250,000. Yeah. She jumped on that. Apparently, she saw his penis and jumped on that as well. So, in other words,
slide whistle.
Get the slide. Why don't you have it prepared already? That's what I thought you had your hand this whole time.
It's this thing behind me to be propped up.
It's in the steamer.
On the side of the wall.
So seriously though, I think she saw a way to get $250,000. And remember, Biggie doesn't hate Tupac, so he's like, yeah, you want to fucking go make $250K? Go make $250K. Cool, right? Here's the problem, though. Rumors start spreading around. She apparently is told, this is from her, the only way I'll give you the $250K is if you have sex with me now. Now, she denies that she ever did anything, but there are a lot of people that say, oh, God, yeah, she was banging Tupac.
It was on that diss track.
And then Tupac releases a track where he straight up says, I fucked your girl. And, yeah, he does an interview, does a track, and says, I slept with your girl. You know, what are you going to fucking do about it? And this kind of sets Biggie off. So I want to get your guys' opinions on the whole Faith Evans bit.
I 100% agree with your speculation.
It's like, you're speculative. Is all right on the nose.
it sounds kind of likely, not to slut shame Faith Evans.
I'm not.
Speak ill of the dead. Because there's a lot of dead in this particular
there
part.
Are. Yeah.
So
I think she's the only one alive.
Faith Evans is alive. Okay. Puffy's alive. So. Dre, Snoop. I think that she...
I'm just saying the Tupac and Biggie. Those
I think
two.
She so went in it for the money.
When does Jada Pinkett Smith get into
She is not going to be mentioned today. I think that Faith Evans...
Well, I mean, she has been now.
Keep her name out your fucking mouth.
I think Faith Evans went into this... as legit
absolutely.
For the music.
Fucking money. And
as they got close while recording, maybe
they
something.
Fucked.
Yeah.
100%. I absolutely think they. There's too many people who are
Faith
like.
Evans was pretty hot.
I mean, how old?
She was.
So how old were they back then in their early
20s? And
like,
you.
Yeah, what, come 21? On. Something real young.
I mean, yeah. Tupac was pretty young. And you figure there's money and there's. Fucking,
lots of money
and
lots of
the
money.
Rumors have it that people said like close friends were like, oh God, they ran around everywhere together and he would buy her gifts. They were fucking.
That's lots like, of
that, everybody.
That's
says
life changing
that.
Money. That they, you know, I know it's not in the
and keep in mind world. That while her and Biggie are still married, they are having problems at this point. So I don't know.
You don't say.
What
if they weren't?
Possible problems could they be having?
Right.
Well, if they weren't, know. They.
So next up is the next big chunk of this whole thing, right? Biggie calls a radio station in Red Hook, which is in New York, and says, Red Hook is where the Dog Pound and Tupac are shooting a video. Brooklyn, stand up. So Tupac isn't there.
Instigating shit.
Snoop's there. And he hears Biggie's call out on the radio. And according to Snoop and the guys that were with him, when they heard it, they thought, hey, Biggie's being cool. He's telling everybody... we're here, show some love, stand up, whatever. No one really knows. What we do know is later on that day, someone drove by and took a couple shots, right?
First off, you can't say later on that day without making us think of other rap lyrics. Okay.
I can't. I didn't think of them.
I did.
Anyway, so somebody just takes some random shots. Now, here's the thing. Was this Biggie calling out to have them shot at, or was Biggie really just giving them a call out and some dickhead was like, oh, I'm going to go shoot at him? Nobody fucking knows.
Well, it's kind of like the deranged fan type thing, maybe?
Hey, who knows? We literally don't know.
I mean, like, look at Dimebag Darrell. I mean, he was at a concert and some deranged fan blamed him for the breakup of Pantera, so that he shot him.
Well, keep in mind, the media has been feeding into this whole East Coast, West Coast rivalry. Now we find out somebody from the West Coast is on the East Coast and where they're at. Like, do I think Biggie was like, somebody go shoot at him? No. Do I think he was being like, somebody go show him some love? Not necessarily. I don't know if he knew what was going to happen. I think maybe he thought people were going to go over and fucking harass him, or God knows. What I can say is Snoop's retaliation is the kind of retaliation everybody should have. Do you guys know how Snoop retaliated?
No.
So they were shooting a music video and they stopped and entirely changed the ending of the music video to where now they have a scene of New York and it's Snoop and them like crashing through it like Godzilla. That's how he retaliated. So we're going to destroy New York. Like that was
kind of amazing.
Yeah, that wasn't the original ending. They changed it for because they got pissed. Nobody got hurt.
Goofy as shit too, which I can fully appreciate with Snoop.
And that's when everything really came to a head, guys. This is pretty much the full story. September 7th, 1996, Tupac is shot in a drive-by in Las Vegas. Rushed to the hospital, dies 6 days later, allegedly. In February 1997, Snoop Dogg and Sean Puffy Combs hold a press conference, and they call for an end to the East Coast-West Coast feud. Snoop said, and I quote, "Kids around the world are watching. By calling for a truce, we're giving them something to live for." Unfortunately, less than a month later, while at a stoplight, Notorious B.I.G. was killed in a drive-by shooting. That was March 9th, 1997. A few weeks after that, April 3rd, 97, a group of artists come together, joined with Louis Farrakhan at his Chicago-based ministry house. Some of the names in attendance were Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, the Dog Pound were there, Bone Hugs and Mother
Stroke, Bone Hugs and Harmony.
There we go.
The rap group that hugs.
Bone Hugs.
Preschool gangster rap group.
Bone Hugs.
Bone Hugs. I've seen that movie. Bone Thugs and Harmony was there.
Probably the funniest stroke.
They were there as well.
That's golden, yeah.
This whole thing was held in an attempt to end the war, and it seemed to work, but it kind of sucks that we lost two prolific artists before it did.
And they were young. 25, damn.
I really want to hit on something here, though. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't have that kind of money. I don't know why Biggie was killed. I do not, personally, after researching everything and after some things that have recently come to light, I do not believe Tupac's death had anything whatsoever to do with any of this.
Now, see, I
have theories about Biggie, but yeah, go ahead.
I know you do. It's weird. I've researched your
theory. I have a theory on Pac, though, too.
Well, okay, let me tell you mine, and then I want to hear your guys's.
All right. Camera's on you.
So here's what happened earlier that day. So we know for a fact, a guy, Orlando Anderson, is a gang member who had come out there, had approached them earlier in the day and tried to beat up one of Tupac's buddies, right? I've heard different reasons as to why he tried to jump him for a necklace. It was a gang thing. He was wearing a big gold charm. Anyway, Tupac and all of them jump him and beat the living shit out of him. Later that night, they are apparently cruising around looking for Tupac and them, find him, shoot him, move on. The reason why I'm pretty sure this is accurate and that it was strictly a gang related incident for me, this is why I think it. Like I said, they'd beat Orlando Anderson up earlier in the day. Anderson had actually bragged about killing Tupac at some point to certain people. Now, whether he was telling the truth or not, we don't know. But he was the nephew of Dwayne Keith, a.k.a. Keefy D. For those of you who do not know, Keefy D is right now on trial and more than likely going to jail as being in the car next to the person who shot Tupac. We pretty much know this is accurate now. Why
should have took an Uber?
should have taken an Uber. I was talking about Keefy D and this whole thing. We know, like, he's on trial right now, and his ass is going down. He's going down. He's going to go to jail. He's tried to say like, oh well, it's because Biggie offered $1 million to shoot him, but I just think he's trying to get his ass out of shit. I don't really believe that Biggie ever did that. And Biggie's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? This is so stupid. I think that my personal opinion is this was all gang related. They beat up Orlando. Orlando got pissed. They hunted him down. They fucking shot him. Orlando has well, he's dead now because he was shocking. I know Orlando Anderson was gunned down in a gang shooting sometime later. Stu, you said you have a theory. I want to hear your thug life. Right? I want to hear your theory as to what you think happened to
Tupac. Well, I mean, for Tupac, I don't think it was more the gang related part, but it was more the Death Row and Suge. But I know for a minute there, Tupac was not wanting to stay in Death Row, but he was binded in a contract with, like, he had released so many albums. Because when he was in jail and he bailed him out, that contract, I guess, you have to have so many albums, whatever.
Sure. That's pretty standard shit.
He put out a couple, you know, afterwards.
How many did he have with Death Row? Two and then one?
He had five or something like that.
I thought it was like two and then one. I can never say that word, posthumously.
Yeah. I mean, I just know that he was just pulling out albums left and right. Double albums were considered two. So he was like,
just to try to get out of his contract.
Right.
So you think he was trying to get out of his contract and Suge had something.
And because he didn't want to be around Suge and all the crap that was going on. And I think
so.
My thoughts is I think Suge had something to do with that night.
I'm going to drive us back to that in a second, but I want to ask these two their thoughts first. And I want to bring up something that kind of sort of plays into that a little bit, what you just said, and get your guys' thoughts on that. But what do you two think? Matt, what do you think about the whole thing as far as why Tupac was shot? I mean, we're speculating all over the place. I just whipped it out and started speculating all over your faces. So we don't really know.
I don't think Tupac's dead.
So. Well, there's that. There's that. And we want to have a whole discussion about that. No, me and Connie both have... I'm not a conspiracy theorist, man, but there is some weird shit out there. There is some really weird shit out there. But for reals, though, assuming that he was, in fact, shot, what do you think?
I've joked about it on the show. I've had different fan theories of, like, who... I don't want to call them conspiracy theories. I want to call them fan theories. I think MC Hammer had something to do with it. He has not been mentioned in this conversation, but according to his own biopic that aired on VH1, he was there the night that Tupac was killed. They were both in Vegas. I think somebody scuffed a sneaker and put somebody else off.
Somebody scuffed a sneaker. We've heard stories. Hammer, most of them came from
Please
Kevin.
Hammer, don't hurt him is for a reason.
Yeah, we've heard stories. Most of the stories I've heard have come from Kevin that the Hammer is supposed to be a real badass.
But first, do not mess with the Hammer. Yeah. He will put the hurt on you.
There's a lot of stories about it.
But I mean, you're not being serious though. You don't really think MC Hammer had anything to do with it, do you? Matt, he's okay, cool. Yeah, that's a new one for me, but all right.
I don't want him coming after me, is all I'm saying.
Oh, because once he starts, he's too legit to quit. So you're gonna.
Nice.
Yeah. KC, what do you think?
Well, I don't believe Hammer did it, although he did. He does have the capability.
Hot take:
to do
MC so. Hammer killed Tupac.
I'm just going to clip that and put that up.
Wow. I don't want to mention who I think did it because the man is pretty much the Vladimir Putin of hip hop. And a lot of people.
What, Russian?
Under his roster.
We'll bleep it. Just say.
We'll bleep it. Is no longer with us. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll bleep it.
We'll bleep it. We'll blur your t-shirt. We'll do everything.
You're going to find me in like a freaking like a garbage bin.
Listen, Hootie, we just really want your opinion.
They're coming to the concert.
I'm trying to get
through. Oh, that's right. They'll blame Hootie.
Okay. Yeah, right. I'm trying to get him to blame Hootie. Darius Rucker. No,
Darius. Who do you think killed Tupac?
All right. So I want to say this because of what Stewie just said. And we'll get back into the little ending bits of this. But, and this is very clear. If you go listen to early Tupac, right? And then listen to the stuff he released after he joined Death Row. They are drastically, drastically different.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the point that it's out there. I have a clip of it. It's just a little longer. But there is a clip of Ice-T telling a story, right? So he says, like, I'm living up in the hills and fucking Shock G comes knocking on my door. He's like, and I don't know Shock, you know, not really, not personally, but
just from Humpty Dance.
Shock G comes up there and he says, "No, no, this is Ice-T. This is Ice-T. Ice-T's not in the Humpty Dance.
No, it's not.
Is he?
No.
Don't mess with me, man. I'm like, what? Shock G is. So Shock G shows up at Ice-T's door and he basically says, "Listen, man, somebody's got to talk to Tupac. Like, somebody has to get through to him." And he basically tells Ice-T, he's like, "That is not the Tupac I know." He's like, I've known him and he's different now. And Ice-T basically says, you know, of course he is. Death Row is basically creating him. They're making him to what they want him to be. He basically says, it's like somebody, makes some comment about Mike Tyson. He's like, basically, you don't take a pit bull, train it to be a fighter, and they get mad when it chews up the couch. That's exactly what you want it to be. And they want him to be a thug. They want him to play the role of the killer and the thug, and that's who they're turning him into. And apparently it broke Shock G's heart, because he's like, Tupac was a very sweet, very loving man, and this guy is not him.
And just to like give you a little bit of reference for those of you who are listening or watching, Ice-T is pretty much one of the founders of gangster rap.
Yeah. And he was in this, but he always managed to keep a little bit a distance from it. I mean, he was in it, but not in it. There were a few like that.
Yeah.
That could have been a lot more
in-depth. Too much about Ice-T being involved in any kind of diss track stuff, but I could just be, I just never heard it myself.
No, he just talks about killing cops.
Well, but
and then end up you know that gets cops.
Yeah, that right. But you know, do you guys like? Do you ever think about how much like out of context that gets dragged? There's a reason why they sing about killing cops, because fucking cops were coming into their neighborhoods.
Oh yeah,
I get it.
They
yeah.
didn't trust the police, and they had good reason not to trust the police.
Yeah. Right.
Fuck the police.
Yes. Yeah. So, like I said, Shock G tells him, he says, "I don't even recognize Tupac." He said, "When I heard Machiavelli, that was the character they turned him into. They turned him into a thug." And like I said, you can find you can find this on multiple places where Ice-T tells this story and about how upset. And he's like, "I wasn't like super close to Tupac. He just thought maybe that Ice-T might have some influence because I guess he tried talking to him and he just wasn't listening." Let me see if I have the quote. It said, Ice talk to Pac, man. They feeding Pac gunpowder. Pac is not listening to me. See, the thing is, when you're working with a rapper, you have to get a rapper in a state of mind. Death Row was training Pac to be a killer, which you heard in the music. But I did a thing for Mike Tyson, which is like, you train a man to be a pit bull, and then you get mad when he eats the furniture. You see what I mean? So that energy bled into the streets and to his demise. He was at my house with the outlaws, a couple of the outlaws, and he played me hit 'em up, and I didn't like it. I said, I was like, you gonna start some shit. I didn't like him starting the beef, you going in on dude's wife and all that. Then at the time he thought B.I.G. had shot him. You ain't supposed to be handling that with a record. Really? Are you? So we kind of was on bad terms with that because he wanted me to ride with him, but I was like, I couldn't. Keep in mind, Tupac was born in New York. That's the end of the quote. That was me saying that. So, but you see what's going on here. People who were very close to Tupac start coming out and saying, no, he's not the same guy anymore. Like, since he's been with Suge Knight and Death Row, he has changed. And if you go listen to his early stuff before Death Row, he's very, very conscious of his environment. And he's very like, he still says shit, but it's more like poetic and more about making change. And then Death Row came and it became all straight thug shit. So there's a drastic change in his music. So I don't know why he was shot. What I do know is Suge had a very negative influence on Tupac. And I think he found somebody that was struggling with some stuff anyway and figured out a way to manipulate the hell out of it, because God knows Suge Knight doesn't manipulate anyone ever for anything.
No,
some of the music
he's
that
a decent upstanding
the reason
system.
Why they call him Suge is because he's so sweet.
I thought it was because he ate a lot of sweets.
With that
he's got,
too,
he's got the sugar.
Yeah. So what were you saying, Stu? Some of the music
that he had after he died. They released like four albums or something like afterwards, and sounded nothing like
any.
The pop that they were during.
And arguments could be made that they made those off of tracks that he was trying that would have never been released had he stayed alive and done other tracks.
So like nobody knows. Single Changes sounds nothing like pop back in the Hit 'Em Up days.
And that's what I'm saying. What had he laid down? So it could have been he laid down some stuff. It wasn't really done, or he wasn't happy with it. But he's dead, so they're going to take it and release it, and try to make money off of it. So,
no, I mean, it just it sounded way better, more genuine, and like the song Changes. It sounded more genuine.
Oh, so you're saying that they released what they had, and it wasn't the thug
stuff? Yeah, because according to some interviews I've heard in the past. That he was always writing, always in the studio.
I bet you laying down when tracks. You look at the way he was raised, it's a weird thing. Like I think there was always a lot of turmoil inside Tupac. Like I think he was always going through shit, trying to figure his shit out. You know, his mom was a member of the Black Panthers, and if you go back and he loved that woman too, and you go back and listen to the whole, like her life was just interesting as hell. And I think, but he was always dealing with shit and. I think he got right in the middle of something, and it was hard for him to get out. But finishing this whole thing off for me, like, I just don't see where the East Coast did very much. Like, besides Biggie saying, hey, they're in Red Hook, stand up, I they didn't ever release any direct diss tracks. They have never gone on record of as mouthing off or threatening anyone. So it's really hard. I know everybody well, that's not entirely true. I am not an East Coast fan or West Coast fan. I actually like Biggie a lot, but I love Snoop Dogg. So I would not. Stu has always been a Tupac fan above all else. Yeah. I would never call myself a Tupac fan. I like some Tupac songs, but I've never just sat down and listened to Tupac. Never. Like just dropped in an album and went with it. So yeah, I don't know. I want to hear one more theory though. I do not have a theory as to why Biggie was shot. Again, I think it might have been some gang-related shit, but I really don't fucking know. But Kev says he has a theory.
And Vladimir Putin of hip-hop.
Same person, you think?
Yep, same person.
Well, you once on this show said you think Puff Daddy had something to do with Biggie's death, which I have looked into it, cannot figure out.
No, mention the man. I'm going to get killed tomorrow.
I cannot figure out where you come up with that, because I can't find anything else where anybody else says that.
If you look at the people who were under
So P.
Bad
Diddy stands
boy.
For Putin Diddy?
Putin.
Putin Diddy.
Putin Diddy. Sean, I think that happens at his party.
Sean Putin comes. What a horrible name. It just sounds like you got the farts.
Yeah.
Putin.
He's got to go poot.
Putin Diddy. Yeah, if you look at Bad Boys, you see alumni. A lot of them are no longer with us, and those who are still with us have found religion.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Not only that, but look at Mace. We've mentioned it on the show. I'll Be Missing You. Again, who stood the most to benefit from Biggie's death?
That makes no sense, but he was benefiting from him being alive. Every time they released an album, he's the owner of it.
What if there was a huge disagreement between Biggie and Puffy to the point where Biggie's thinking about leaving?
Maybe. But
in order to kind of capitalize.
But when we're saying speculation. This sounds like, because I've never heard anywhere that he was thinking about leaving or that this was threatened.
That's just my thought.
It's fine.
Would you have heard about it? Would you have, though?
Yeah, but you're
how
missing.
How much do we really know about
that? That's speculation. That's what I'm talking about, though. He's speculating that happened.
All we're doing is wild speculation.
Well, then
that's all we can do.
Then I think it was Steve Urkel. He shot him and said, did I do that? And yes, you did.
I think it may not have been Urkel. I think it was Stefan Urkel. Yeah.
Stefan.
Never heard of his ass.
Stefan did know like Bruce Lee shit.
Because, hey, I can tie this back in because now Jaleel White and Snoop Dogg, really close.
Yeah. And good Martha friends. Stewart. She's
the Illuminati.
Time.
Oh, my God. She's in charge of all of it.
I think Martha put a hit on him.
It all goes down to Martha. Martha Stewart did it.
Who would suspect her?
Wrote everything on a doily.
Wrote it all on a doily. Well, they said she was in prison for income tax stuff, but no. No, insider trading. That's what she was in prison for, right?
That's how they got Capone.
Insider trading. She was insider trading, yeah. Well, there you go, guys. Let's give some real quick we'll start with Matt, some real quick closing thoughts on the whole East Coast, West Coast thing. At this point, I will tell you guys, after doing the deep dive, after my interview with Ben and everything I've read, I just don't think there really was an East Coast, West Coast feud. I think that's what it got dubbed by the media, but I think there was just a couple of guys being pissy with one another, personally. But that's me. Matt?
Yeah. I think it was a couple of guys who were up to no hood.
And they started making trouble in their neighborhoods.
Trouble in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got in a couple big
Tupac
fights.
Tupac and Biggie got in one little fight, and the moms got scared, and they went on the award show and tried to put an end to it all. But, which I don't think we even mentioned that eventually Tupac Jada, and Biggie's moms got together on stage and actually were kind of like,
yes, oh, they have.
Yeah. All this.
Yeah.
So,
well, they, again, those two were friends.
They had mm-hmm. to kind of, you know, we've joked a lot on this, but
I never
they
noticed.
Had to kind of like humanize it a little bit. It's not just the fact that it's rappers against rappers. These are people's kids. These are people's brothers and husbands and stuff.
Yes.
And it was all just, it was, oh, you said this about me. It's like, okay, could you imagine that happening now to the extent that it did then
with
social media and everything?
If a rapper tried to diss on another one now, we wouldn't understand what the hell he just said because he mumbled.
You'll never know.
Stu does his Bob Dylan rap. Ooh, Bob Dylan needs to release a rap album. It'd be great. Isn't in the streets.
Didn't Lou Reed try that at one point in time?
I don't know. Lou Reed's cool.
He did the Metallica thing. It was bad too.
Stewie, what are your final thoughts on this whole thing?
I still think Suge did it.
I mean,
and
fair.
Biggie was collateral, like collateral damage from like killing Tupac. I think so.
So what you think, Suge?
I think they're related.
So you like, think Suge had, Tupac killed and then killed Biggie as a way to frame it to make it look like Biggie had something.
No,
to do
just
with
get
it.
Rid of all that.
Suge's like, I'm just gonna kill them all.
Get rid of loose ends.
I mean, he seems to be a bit of a loose cannon.
You think? Yeah. I mean, did he like kill Vanilla Ice? Fucking hit a dude with his car.
I honestly
ran over the guy in the parking lot.
Dangled Vanilla Ice out a window.
Don't get me wrong. I think the gangs were a big part of it, but I think Suge had his hand in the gangs.
Turns out Vanilla Ice is the one who took them all out.
Oh my god!
he's a bigger thug than I thought. Yeah. We're forgetting another likely culprit.
It was him and a Ninja Turtle.
It was Snow.
Snow. Yeah. Snow. And
he
Vanilla
was the
Ice.
Informer.
They got sick of being picked on. he was the informer. And KC, I think we've got. You don't want to talk about it because you think
I might end up in Mount Rumpke. I don't want to say.
Well, there you guys go, man. There's our thoughts on the East Coast, West Coast rivalry. We've talked about it for a long time. It's kind of a breakdown of what it was. I mean, hearing everything later, I mean, there was a little bit more in there here and there, but that was the big portion of what happened, what took place. What I just read to you guys was kind of what happened. And when you really break it down, it's like I remember being in high school and just out of high school and hearing like the East Coast, West Coast feud, the East Coast, West Coast feud. And it was always something that sort of stuck in my head. But then when I went, I'm like, was there an East Coast, West Coast feud? Or was there a Suge, Puff, you know, Biggie? Yeah,
just individuals.
Tupac feud. That, or more so, was there a Suge, Tupac feud?
Right.
You know, they seem to have the biggest problems with everybody. And mm-hmm. so it's very sad. Regardless of
by the way, I want to point something out. Suge went on the Source Awards and mentioned producers appearing in their videos, mm-hmm. but I'd like to point out an infamous photo. And
the black photo.
Okay, yeah. But here's
who's
the thing.
That?
Yeah, but he's not dancing around in the video.
He is not wrong. Puffy pops up in every song and sometimes it's literally just him going, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that shirt? Was wearing that shirt a coincidence or you purposely wore that?
Yeah, did you wear that shirt on purpose today? Or?
Yeah, okay. I wore the shirt on purpose.
Yeah, with the fisheye lens, that was a big thing. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Puffy did appear on, and there is theory that Puffy did that for a reason, because then he could take royalties on songs, not just as the producer and the.
I mean, it is all about the Benjamins.
It's all about the Benjamins.
I don't know. The rock version is way better.
That's the only version I like. I love that version.
Rob Zombie.
What you wanna do? Wanna be ballers.
Shot callers.
He'll be dipping in the bins. All alone with it.
All right.
You know who wasn't involved in it? The Fugees. The Fugees, damn it.
The Fugees.
All right. So that's it, guys.
The Black Eyed Peepees.
We want to thank... Oh, shut up. Black Eyed Peepees.
We want to... I thought you said, Stu.
We want to...
I thought you said Black Guy Peepees. Like, Black...
What? No, no. I would say a lot of black guys' peepees were involved in this whole thing. As to who had the bigger one was probably a big part of this whole thing. I think it would be Biggie Smalls, because he was the notorious B.I.G.
I mean, with a name like Biggie Smalls, though,
of course,
kind of contradictory.
Of course, Mr. Shakur
let's
was
ask Faith Evans.
Mr. Shakur was Tupac in it, so yeah. Tupac.
Thug Life, everybody.
Tupac and everybody. Thug Life. All right, so that's it. We want to thank everybody for coming and listening. Like I said, there is stuff available on YouTube at some point whenever Matt gets around to doing it. I really don't know when it gets done, how long it takes, but it will be out there, and there is some new stuff up there anyway. We are talking about more new stuff, so be looking for that as well. That's really what I got for you guys today. We're going to try to keep things a little more compact. I really want everybody to be paying attention to our social medias, because we are going to start requesting more things from our listeners. In other words, you're going to help us pick some of the shows moving forward. And we're about to release one where we will need you guys to vote and pick which things we're going to be talking about. So be paying attention to our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram for that stuff.
Twitter. What's Twitter?
Your vote will not Twitter. Only matter, it may piss everybody else off.
Listen, too. Elon Musk, it's fucking Twitter. I don't care. Nobody's ever going to call it X. Get over it. Your vote may or may not piss everybody, but we don't know. Or you may all... Well, we're going to do majority rules on that vote, so...
That's true.
Whatever you guys say, that's what we're going to be talking about. Next time around, next episode, we are doing a twofer. What we're going to be talking about is film scores, and then we're going to be recasting a movie. So come around for that one. Find out who we pick as our cast. Kind of let you know real quick how that's going to work. We took some of the main cast members from a movie. We decided if it was not remade, if it was made today, who would we cast in it? Myself, KC, and Matt picked our choices. We sent them to each other. We are then going to sit down and discuss who we pick as the ultimates. And Stu doesn't know. He knows all the cast choices, but he doesn't know who picked who. So Stu's going to be kind of our outside, if there's any arguments to be had, because he doesn't know. He's not going to take Jason's side or Matt's side. He's going to go, no, I think this was the best choice.
Should be pretty interesting.
I know.
Slide me a 20.
I'll give you $5. That's cool. All right, guys. That's it. We are closing this one out. We love you guys. We thank you guys for coming. And until next we speak, remember to always...
Stay awesome.
There are times that you feel like your head is a big old bucket filled with fuzzy dreams, 'cause you wish you were a Muppet. But you can't play the music and you can't light the lights, and it's all you can do just to make it through any more of these lonely nights. So you grab your favorite mixtape and you pop it in the slot, and you scream two words along with all the nerds, 'cause right now it's all you've got. Stay awesome. Plant a tree inside your heart and let it blossom. Stay awesome. You gotta live your life, don't stay curled up like a possum. And stay cool.